Okay. Let's see. Yeah, we can just go right in. I don't know how many people are going to want to read. But anybody can just want to, you know, if you want to read, just let me know. I'll start off. And I guess Bonnie can go next if she can read. Otherwise, she, I don't know if you might be getting ready for work, for all I know. So, cause you know, you got to leave in about half hour. You'll spare the brethren tonight with that low mic of yours. Oh, biggie. Okay, number one. In what promise was a Savior from sin first revealed? Genesis chapter 3, all the way back then, verses 14 and 15. It says, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise her heel." So he's going to get, you know, the devil's not going to be able to get much damage against the children of God, but they're going to hit him right where it hurts, right there in the head. And that's neat that the Lord had it all set up way before we, you know, were even born. And of course, this speaks of Christ in a way too, because of the, well, of course, and because we needed a Savior, and Jesus stepped up as our Savior even before the foundations of the earth. So even before Adam and Eve were created, that was already put in place in case we messed up. All right, I'll read two in a row, and then whoever wants to read next can read two in a row. Through whom was a restoration of the lost dominion promised to Abraham? To thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Genesis 13:15. Okay. Whoever wants to go next, go ahead.
Number two, through whom was a restoration of the lost dominion promised to Abraham? To thee and thy forever. Genesis 13:15.
Yeah, I was going to say, do number three, because I did two in a row. If you want to do three and four, that'd be good. I guess Bonnie's getting ready for work, and all the rest don't have mics, or, you know, or their mics are really, really low. So that's okay. We can... me and Chrissy can do it, or I can do it if you don't want to do a lot of them, Chrissy. Don't matter to me.
Oh, it don't matter to me. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Okay, number three. Who was this promised seed? He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Galatians 3:16. Number four. Where was Christ to be born? And he, Herod, demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Matthew 2:4-6. Also see Micah 5:2.
Of whom was Christ to be born? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. That is taken from Isaiah 7:14. Before his birth, what did the angel say to Joseph concerning the naming of the child? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21.
You know, that's, I like that one with about, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Way before Isaiah came forth with that prophecy, the devil had already done what he did with Semiramis and Nimrod in them, where she had that thought, or, of course, the devil just inspired her to come up with the plan to tell everybody that she was immaculately conceived, that there was a baby in her womb, because she was believed to be a goddess. You know how they did that with the pagan thing, just like the Pope today thinks he's a god. Yeah, already planning the counterfeit. That's the thing about the devil. If you just look at... that's one of the things that proves Christianity to be the correct religion. I noticed that early on when I was first investigating this, because the devil attacks every aspect of Christianity. He doesn't go after Buddhism. He doesn't go after the Muslims. He doesn't go after Zoroastrians. He goes after Christianity. See, that's one of the things, even though no matter how supernatural and how super ingenious he is, he's got to show his card, because truth is truth and lies are lies. And since he has an overwhelming hatred of truth, that's where he's going to focus his attack, and that's where he shows his hand. And that's what amazes me about all these weird religions out there and how people just can't, even with today's world, the way the governments favor all the other religions, but when it comes to Christianity, they really go after it, especially with the homosexual world, where if you use the Bible, they'll do everything they can to get you behind bars. So anyway, I'll pick it up here at number 7. It says, at his birth, what message did the angel bring to the shepherds abiding in the field? And by the way, if Jesus was born in winter, then we've got a problem here. Well, you know, like if the whole world says he was born on December 25th, the angels would not have gone out to the fields to talk to the shepherds to let them know that Jesus was born, because a month and a half to 2 months before the birth comes the month of Chesvan in the Jewish calendar, when they would have brought around in that month, so it could have been a week or two even before, it could have been 2.5 months, they would have brought their flocks in out of the field because winter was coming and it's dangerous to be out in the open at that time. And so that's one of my favorites to use against that December 25th thing, as well as the taxation. You know, Mary and Joseph would not have been forced by Rome to be counted in the census for taxation in winter. It's just too hard to travel, you know. They wouldn't have put unnecessary burdens. Roman government was cruel, but it wasn't, ridiculously cruel. It's kind of like the American government. You know, it's cruel, but it understands basic human facts about, you know, you're gonna, that will cause unnecessary grief and people will die. Yeah, so far. Yeah, that too. They were the only ones at the time studying too. But anyway, it says, at his birth, what message did the angel bring to the shepherds abiding in the field? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And a little interesting note here about the word Savior. You're seeing it in today's world, all over the place, but there's two ways to spell this word. You got S-A-V-I-O-U-R and S-A-V-I-O-R. Savior with the U in it, your Savior. That always, when you look in the dictionaries, when you spell it with a U, it always describes it as being Jesus Christ the Lord. Even though they don't acknowledge him as Jesus Christ the Lord, they say this connects with him. But when you use it without the U and just spell it S-A-V-I-O-R, then that's the same thing as like a lifeguard. Or you're walking down the road and a bus is coming out of control and someone pushes you out of the way of the bus and saves your life. That is a savior, but that's not spelled with a U. They don't mean the same thing, no. Savior with the U means Christ Jesus. Savior without the U is something man did to help his fellow man. That's what, you know, that's the difference. Okay, number 8. In what song of praise did a host of angels join? And same book, of course, Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that's what he planned. I mean, this, you know, if you just embrace, see, that's one of the things that we as Christians understand, when we take Christ Jesus the Lord as our Savior, that peace is right there with it. I mean, we have the same problems everybody else does, but the thing is, we have it with peace. And it doesn't get to us as bad as it does. I mean, some of us are still growing in those areas, and there are times that I'll have a little bit of a rough go going through rough times. But what I usually do when I have a rough go going through times where I'm having trials and tribulations, like major attacks to the family or personal attacks to myself, instead of getting angry and stuff like that, I'll just pray a lot, you know, not just a morning, afternoon, and evening prayer. My midday prayer might be 10 stages, you know, I'll just be all day long finding a reason to get away from it all and going out into the woods and just talking to them constantly. And that's the only way that I find, you know, peace, consolation, you know, stuff like that, you know, because it's, otherwise you go nuts, you know. You can do it, Chrissy. You can, you know, like what I used to do before I had a little miniature forest in my home. Yeah, work gets in the way. What I would do when I was working and I had a major situation going on, if I couldn't just get in the car and drive to a local forest preserves, because that's what I used to do when I lived up near Chicago, I would just tell my wife, I'm going to go pray, and she knew. Yeah, I know, that's sad. The Lord will bless you, though. But anyway, she'd know I'd be gone for an hour or two, because it would take me a good half hour sometimes. Well, depending on the traffic, it'd be anywhere from 20 minutes to 30 minutes to get to those two favorite places of mine to go pray, and they were both about the same distance apart, 20 to 30 minutes, depending upon traffic. And, then I would just go out there and just do that. And it was so, but at work, I couldn't get away. And so what I would do when I was at work is every time I had a break, like a 10-minute break you have, I would spend most of it in prayer. I would go in the locker room, or I'd go in the bathroom, or go in the bathroom stall by myself and just sit there, And I'd like to kneel, but, I like to be in a closet kneeling. I don't like to advertise and make people think, oh, look how holy he is. And so private prayer is private prayer, And so, like when I used to sell shoes for a living years ago, I would always go into the back, like when business was dead, certain hours of the day, I'd be sitting there just growing hair for 2-3 hours. And so I would just, and it was set up to where if someone walked in, I'd know it. So I would go all the way into the back room, and I'd get on my knees because I was the only one there. And I would pray when I would have heavy situations. Otherwise, it would just be the regular midday prayer. But that, it does help. It does help immensely. And I think I did, I did 7 and 8. So whoever wants to do 9 and 10, go for it.
What prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled at Christ's birth? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9:6. Number 10. What did the prophet say his name should be called? And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Isaiah 9:6-7.
Amazing about the names. There are so many names. I got a page on the site. I think it's in the, I just want to run through this real quick to share this with you, because I think this is a real blessing. It helped me out when I was helping out somebody else with the Yeshua, Yahweh thing. And they were telling me, because I use the name Jesus. Yeah, thanks, Bonnie. That's the one. That's what I was looking for. But I wasn't going to put it in the room because I don't want to lose my place here. But let's see. It's in the Bible of Truth section. Feast Days of Yahweh. There it is. Okay. The we had some friends that were, part of our gathering, and they were starting to get pulled away. All of them came back but one, sadly. But the major issue was the feast days, and of course using the name Yahweh or Yeshua. And they were saying if you use names like Jesus or any kind of manufactured name of today, using the lettering today. Praise the Lord, Clive and Kim. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that private message. That was nice. Praise the Lord. Definitely. Truth is truth. But anyway, they were telling me that you can't manipulate the word or change it in any way and all this other stuff. And they were saying Jesus actually meant Zeus. And I says, no. Jesus, the root of Jesus is Joshua. That's where it came from. And I asked him, I says, well, if you're doing the same thing. You're taking the name Yahweh and Yeshua, and you're adding your own, you're manipulating it so you can speak it, because it's words that can't be spoken in regular language. I mean, Yahweh, for example, is spelled Y-H-W-H. You put an A and an E in there to make it speakable, And, exactly, Chrissy. How does this pertain to our salvation? Because they were telling me if I use Jesus or any other name, I was going to hell in a handbasket. And I says, so you're going to put your God in a box, and you're going to, with a name, there's so many blessings. There's like a story can be told in a name. I mean, there's reasons for those names. Yeah, for example, like what we're looking at right here, we see all these different names that Chrissy just read, the number 10 one here about Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and so on. That says a lot. If you just keep it at Yahweh or Yeshua, you're limiting all the blessings. You're putting them in a box. You're keeping it all in one. thing, but the thing that I like is the way the scriptures, like in the Old Testament, we see his name is I Am, Jehovah, which is God our Lord, or Jehovah Shabbat, which is Lord of Hosts, Jehovah Jireh, no, that's Jehovah Sabaoth, I can't even pronounce it, but anyway, Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, Jehovah Rophi, God our healer, Jehovah Nisi, God our banner, Jehovah Makadesh, God our sanctifier, Jehovah Shalom, God our peace, Jehovah Tsidkenu is God our righteousness, Jehovah Rohi, God our shepherd, Jehovah Shema, God ever-present, and El Shaddai is Almighty God, El Elohim is Most High God, and Adonai is Lord, and Elohim is Everlasting God. Oh, no, Elohim is God our creator and ruler, and El Olam is Everlasting God. In the New Testament, looking to the Son, Jesus Christ, you got the Lamb of God, the firstborn, Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of David, the Amen, Chief Cornerstone, Chief Shepherd, Last Adam, Redeemer, Bright Morning Star, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Living One, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Rabbi, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, Faithful, True Emmanuel, Jesus, the Messiah. So if they're going to knock it all down to just one name, they're going to have to rip out an awful lot of verses, you know? And you ever notice this? To show the importance of the names and how they ring true, and it's best to keep the truth, what comes with the names. Look at the names of the 12 tribes. You got Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Now, I'm going to repeat the names, but I'm not going to say the names. I'm just going to say what the names mean. Okay? This is what the names mean. Behold, a son, look on me. Hear him. Hear me. And be joined with me. Give him praise. Now will I praise the Lord, judge his strife and his fortune. Happy and blessed am I, for he brings my reward, dwelling with us. He shall add, for he is the son of his right hand. Okay? It's on that one page that Bonnie put in the room. But here, right here, Chrissy, these are the definitions. Let me see if I can get these in the text chat. Okay, right there, yeah. Now, each line is the definition of each name that I just put in the text chat. Like Reuben is the first one, Simeon is the second one, Levi is the third one, and so on. All 12 tribes spoken in a row says a story about Christ the Lord. Now, let's look at the men's names from Adam to Noah. You've got Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. Now, listen to what these names mean. Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching his death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. Think about that. He's naming each child of his, and each child of his has a message, and that message is about our Savior. And so when you take each one of our... See, that's the wonderful thing about Christianity and the wonderful thing about following Christ Jesus the Lord. We're all cogs in this wheel. It's just like the amazing truth about the body of Christ. You know, you got the head, you got the eyes, you got the feet, you got the hands and all that stuff. Well, you take every single believer that has walked as Christ would have them walk throughout their lives and find out what their names mean. You know, in the way that the Lord defines their names to mean. And you'll see the eternal story. And I'm sure this is one of the things that we're going to be discussing when we get into the heavenly kingdom, you know, that government that's upon his shoulders. And so I shared this information with those loved ones that were being pulled away, and sadly, all but one came back, you know, with the truth that the Word had shared. But anyway, getting back. Who was the last one to read, and who's next? I think we got 11 and 12 here. Okay, yeah, Clive and Kim.
What did the devout Simeon see when he saw the child Jesus? And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us least thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Luke 2:27-32. How did the aged prophetess Anna express herself at the sight of Jesus? And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem.
Simeon, that's always a blessing when I think of him and how he waited. He didn't want to die until he saw the promise. He wanted to see the Savior. And that's why he says here, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. In other words, now I can die. I've seen it. I've seen what I wanted to see. And too bad, though, he wasn't able to convince the rest of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because he was one of the priests there. He's the one that Mary and Joseph brought the child Jesus to at the specific time, as they do, I think it was 8 days or something after the birth, something like that. Who's next? Is it me? I think it's I beeth nexteth. Meeth. Okay. All right, so he left off at 12, so. 13, what did the wise men of the East do when they had found Jesus? Matthew 2:11 says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Kind of like that's something the family that you can use to take care of the child too. That was because it was mostly bartering back then anyway, but it was a blessing to the family there in a big way to help them. And I do believe the Old Testament speaks of these gifts as well, if I'm not mistaken. I got a little bit of cloudiness in my brain on that one. But if I'm not mistaken, I think Isaiah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets, speaks of the gifts brought to him. It's one of those prophetic, unless it's maybe Ellen White speaks of it, by deciphering something an old prophet said. But I can't remember exactly where it's at, so don't quote me on that. All right, number 14, how came Jesus to live for a time in Egypt? Verse 13 of the same book, which is Matthew 2. Yeah, it could be, but this was so much for, I don't know. I couldn't answer that, because I know the pagans were giving gifts way before then, They were giving, the gifts. They did the gift giving all the time. Anyway, getting back, number 14, how came Jesus to live for a time in Egypt? Hey there, CCC. Are you really BBB incognito? All right, and it says in verse 13, Matthew 2, yep, that's who I thought it was. It says, and when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And sadly, we know all what happened next there in regards to how they, Rachel, Leminith in Bethlehem, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, in regards to how her sorrow cannot be quenched because her children are not. Soldiers were told to go out and kill them. And if you ever noticed that, like right before Moses came, and he was a Messiah type, right before he came, they were killing all the children to try to prevent his arrival, of course. The devil just, manipulates the mankind at the time of the day just to, in any way that he can, in any laws that he can use, so that he can get his will done. And then right before Jesus comes and stands as Messiah, he did the same thing. He killed all the children using the laws of the land, which was, I guess, perfectly legal, and they didn't look to, when you think about that, they just go right into a city and start killing children with swords and stuff. You would think it's barbaric today, but in them days, it could have just been a regular SWAT team set up, the way they would do it in their, kind of life. And then today, the legalities that the devil used today was to manipulate the Roe v. Wade situation, which had nothing to do with abortion, and get it to where now young women or even old women are killing their babies right before Jesus gets here. They're killing the kids again. So I think that's where I have to stop. Yeah, okay. Whoever's next starts at 15.
Does the Revelator describe this satanic desire to destroy Christ? The dragon stood to devour her child as soon as it was born. Revelation 12:4. By what means did Herod seek to destroy Christ? Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and went forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under. Matthew 2:16.
After Herod's death, where did Joseph and his family live? And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene, verse 23. What is said of Christ's childhood and early life? And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. Luke 2:40-51.
I'm trying to look up this one explanation here to... I know there's a parallel definition to Revelation 12:4 in regards to the dragon standing before the woman, because I know Jeremiah 6:2 talks about women being churches and ready to be delivered. Well, whoever's next, oh, wait, is that me now? Yeah, I think I'm next, because I'm going to look this up here. Robert? Okay, hold on. Just look up... let me just get it set where I want, and then I'll shut off my mic, because I'm on a different monitor right now. 12 verse 4. Okay, I got it highlighted right where I want it. All right, go ahead there, Robert.
I've got a new mic here. Just thought I'd try it out. Can you hear me?
Oh, wow, you were very, very low. Can you turn on the mic booster, or, you know how to click on the microphone down there on those graphics. You got a microphone and a speaker. Click the microphone, and it'll pop open the, the microphone dialog box, the recording control. Slide the slide bar all the way up, and then try it again.
How's that? Is that any better?
Not really. Do you have an advanced button underneath your microphone in the slide bar that popped up? Is there an advanced button or no? I didn't hear you. Yes or no? Put in the text chat. All right, click the advanced button if you see one there, and it'll pop open another dialog box. And there should be a little thing that says mic boost. If there's no check mark there, put one in there and then talk. Get ready, it might be loud. Okay, then if you don't have it, so what you're saying is you do not have a button underneath the microphone slide bar that says advanced, right? Yes or no? No. Okay, so here's how you get that button to show up. On the top left side of the dialog box, you got two drop-down menus called Options and Help. Click the one that says Options, and you see where it says Advanced Controls? Click it to make a check mark show up, and then you'll see the Advanced button box will appear underneath your microphone slide bar.
Okay, I think I found it then. How's that?
Okay, that's much better. We can hear you now. Okay, so if you want to go ahead and do, I think, what, 15? 15 and 16?
Wasn't it 19?
I don't remember. Which number is everybody? I kind of lost track there, too. Yeah, that's right. I did 15. Yeah, I scrolled up because I wanted to look up 12 verse 4. So, yeah, go ahead with, 19. Yeah, do 19. Now, I think Clive did 18 and 19 because I remember him starting off with verse 23. So go ahead with 19.
Upon returning from a feast at Jerusalem, how came Joseph and Mary to lose Jesus when he was 12 years old? But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Luke 44:45. The note says, this is how many lose Jesus today. They suppose he is in their company, but do not see to it that he is with them personally. Through carelessness, it takes but a day to lose him, but when once lost, it sometimes takes days of sorrowful searching, as it did Joseph and Mary, to find him again. Number 20. What was Jesus doing when they found him? And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. That was verse 46.
That's an excellent analogy, that note, on how to look at that situation where Jesus was lost, because we do that. We lose him. We misplace him. We think he's in our company. We think he's that we're walking with him, and he's not with us personally. So, all right, so you went. Now it's my turn again, or no? Okay, I think it is my turn, I guess. No one else is jumping up here. So, okay, so 21 and 22. How did his questions and answers impress those who heard them? Verse 47 of the same book, which is Luke chapter 2, says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And in verse 22, with what words do the scriptures conclude the record of Christ's early life? Verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Note says, Christ's early life is a pattern for all children and youth. He was marked by respect and love for his mother. He was obedient to his parents and kind to all. He hated sin and to every temptation turned a deaf ear. He sought to understand the reason of things and so increased in knowledge and wisdom. He was sympathetic and tender-hearted and ever ready to relieve the oppressed, the sorrowing, and the suffering. If we love Christ, we shall love to talk of him. Our sweetest thoughts will be of him, and by beholding him, we shall be changed into the same image. And there's, who's this, Martin Luther wrote this? Amen and amen, yeah. Hey, mixed girl, how you doing there, sister? Let me read this poem. Martin Luther, I guess, wrote it. It says, all praise to thee, eternal Lord, clothed in a garb of flesh and blood, choosing a manger for thy throne, while worlds on worlds are thine alone. Once did the skies before thee bow, a virgin's arms contain thee now. Angels who did in thee rejoice, now listen to thine infant voice. A little child, thou art our guest, that weary ones in thee may rest. Forlorn and lowly is thy birth, that we may rise to heaven from earth. Thou comest in the darksome night to make us children of the light, to make us in the realms divine like thine own angels round thee shine. All this for us thy love hath done. By this to thee our life is won. For this we tune our chauffeur lays and tell our thanks in song of praise. That's pretty nice. I like that. That'd make a nice song. I wonder if somebody did turn that into a song. But I guess Bonnie's got to leave in about 6 minutes. She's got to get to work. So since we're done, if we can... go ahead there, Lynn.
I was going to say, when you were telling the other brother how to fix the mic, and I think I found those controls, and I'm wondering, am I heard a little better now?
Not a whole lot. Did you push the slide bar all the way up, and did you hit the mic boost button?
I didn't see the mic boost button, but I did push everything all the way up.
Yeah, you did click the mic boost, but then you're going to have to slide the slide bar all the way up on mic and then try it.
Okie dokie, I'll try again.
And then let us know, and we'll see how you sound. Because it's nice to have more than, you know, a few people reading. We're done today, but, you know. And then I wanted to share some stuff. I wonder if I can get a PDF file to pop in here. Hold on a second. I don't think I can, but, hey, I'll try anything once. Okay, let me see if I can get this to work now. Let's see if it pops inside the room. Oh, yeah, it did. Cool. All right, check this out. Now, don't tell anybody this, okay, people? Because I haven't bought the... I'm sorry. If you don't have PDF on your computer, it's not going to pop up. Just realize that. But that's the little track we're going to be passing out soon. I got to shut this little stuff off on the... I got to buy the domain name for it if we're going to do this. See, the problem with the domain name, though... Well, here, let's pray first before we get into this. So if you can get on your knees, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us once again with your scriptures and blessing us with the desire to learn Thank you for answering our prayers, cutting our hearts, and bridling our tongues, so that only your word came forth and only you were glorified. We thank you, Father, for keeping us safe throughout this week ahead of us, especially those of us that have to go out and about a lot with traveling and work or wherever the case may be. And with the strange weather that we've been having, we pray that you keep us safe up here, too, with these strange storms and stuff. We thank you once again, Father, for forgiveness of sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. And thank you so much for your Son, who made it possible for us to gain heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, all right, let me turn off the recorder.